Peace is more than the absence of war. Out of a 20-page encyclical written by Pope John XXIII, this is the most remembered sentence. Pacem in Terris, meaning peace on earth, as it is called, was a papal document written during the Cuban Missile Crisis when in October of 1962, during the days of the opening of the Second Vatican Council, Pope John XXIII became the protagonist of an appeal for peace, welcomed by Kennedy and Khrushchev, in a world that was on the brink of nuclear war. The Pope beautifully describes the rights and responsibilities that society owes to each other for a more glorious and harmonious union among the body of Christ. His Holiness did not release this encyclical because he wanted the church to be relevant. He did so because embedded in the line, "Peace is more than the absence of war," is the seed of the gospel. What is the greatest commandment? This is the self-righteous question posed by the religious leaders in today's gospel. And Jesus does not demur today, as he sometimes does. In other pericopes, Jesus answers in a coy or a cryptic manner. For instance, they tell him that his mother and extended family are outside looking for him. And he answers them, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" Other times they ask him questions and he answers directly, because the meaning is too important to be lost in a parable that needs to be explained. Today is the latter, not the former. Jesus is asked which is the single greatest commandment, but since they are inseparable, Jesus gives the greatest two commandments. Love the Lord with your soul, heart, love the Lord with your heart, mind, and strength. This is the first three commandments given to Moses, differently stated. The inseparable nature of Catholic theology and Catholic social teaching They are inseparable, okay? I wrote it at 5 a.m., leave me alone. Anyway, when Pope John XXIII wrote this, "Peace is more than the absence of war," he did so knowing that the concepts of subsidiarity and charity are also inseparable. Now let's review some terms, just in case our 12 years of Catholic school were less than formative. Subsidiarity is the Catholic social teaching that if it can be handled at the lowest possible level, it should be. This is both an economic and political concept, as well as one that can be applied to the individual. Subsidiarity is the direct opposition of communism, which says that everything should be controlled by the government. This Catholic social teaching says that the individual should first be taken care of by themselves. If the individual cannot or will not, it falls then to their family to care for them. If they have no family, or the family is unable to care for them properly, then the community should care for them. If the community is unwilling or unable to take care of those needs, then it should go to the state and so on and so forth until it is controlled by the national government. But notice, this concept starts with the individual caring for themselves, if they are able. That this isn't limited to merely physical and financial needs of the individual should be self-evident. It also extends to the individual's spiritual need and development of virtue. Now, I said that the Catholic social teaching known as subsidiarity and the theological virtue of charity are inseparable. So now let's define charity. Charity, the greatest of all the virtues, is from the Latin caritas, which means love. And if God is love, then the more we embrace charity for ourselves and others, we are embracing God more fully. Now, holding the dual concepts of subsidiarity and charity in our minds, we reread the first reading. "You shall not oppress an alien, nor wrong a widow or an orphan. For if you do, I will hear their cries and punish you." Aliens, orphans, and widows were protected classes in ancient Israel. They were the most vulnerable individuals who often could not take care of themselves. Therefore, the community was supposed to pay special attention to them so that their needs would not go overlooked. It was for these three communities that the office of deacon was even created. The reading from Exodus continues that we are not to collect interest, and by that it explains that we aren't supposed to extort anyone beyond their financial means. We should not place undue or unjust burdens on others. We cannot take someone's only means of sustenance or comfort, even if we are owed, because the person still has dignity as a person, and we should treat them such. And wouldn't you know it, that is the second commandment given by Jesus in today's gospel. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is commandments 4 through 10 given to Moses, summarized. To further the inseparable nature of the bond of dignity which humanity owes to each other, Jesus links his answers. We are to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, and soul, and concurrently, we are to try and love our neighbor as ourselves. This presupposes that we love ourselves. Jesus does not give a single commandment because he came to heal more than one broken relationship due to original sin. Three distinct relationships that Jesus came to repair by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension that we summarize known as the Paschal Mystery. These relationships that were broken by original sin caused by the actions of Adam and Eve were the right relationship we enjoyed with God, with others, and with nature. Adam and Eve used to walk with God face to face in the garden. After the fall, we can no longer see him face to face this side of heaven, except in the Eucharist. It broke the relationship between man and woman, miscommunication and misunderstanding between the sexes. The last relationship it broke was between humanity and the world in which we live. Adam and Eve used to live in harmony with all the animals in the garden, but today a lion will eat you. Jesus shed his blood and offered his body so that we would be brought back into proper relationship with nature, with each other, and especially with God himself. We cannot abandon others because we belong to each other. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We must love ourselves. We must love others. Peace is more than just absence of fighting or preventing others from fighting or from war. Anger and hatred are cultivated in our hearts. We hear in another gospel when Jesus calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside, but filled with decay and death on the inside. And this is why charity demands more than a ceasefire, but rather for hearts to be converted, for us to remember that we belong to each other. We must not only desire the absence of war, but rather cultivate virtue in ourselves so that we truly care about others enough to want to find an amicable solution for all conflicts. Our hearts are the source of anger and division. Our heart is also the one who pays the price and gets damaged by these emotions. Peace isn't stopping people from fighting. That is simply the suspension of war. Peace is the work of justice and the effect of love. It's the tranquility of order in the individual as experienced by the community. A person with the interior disposition of peace will act with charity towards others. Peaceful parents in a family, by their actions, provide a school for children to learn peaceful living. Peaceful homes make a peaceful community, and so on and so forth until we have a peaceful world. Subsidiarity in action, starting with the individual and treating myself and others with charity, so that ultimately the entire world experiences that charity. And the only way to have internal peace is first to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. But since our relationship in proper order has been damaged by original sin, we often lie to ourselves and say that we have mastered the first commandment of loving God fully. However, we are still surprised why we don't love others as much as we should, as people are fond to confess. Without the love of God to fill us first, we are like a car with no gas. You cannot draw from an empty well, nor can you give away what you do not have. So first, we must be filled with the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. increase your love for God by spending time in prayer each day, listening for His will for you. Speaking to God is vital as well, but everyone is good at telling God what they want. Few of us are good at listening to what He wants to say to us in prayer. So ask the Lord how He wants to fill you when you pray, so that you can take that love you feel and share that with others. After all, they will know we are Christians by our love, right? Peace is more than just the absence of war. We must first quell the internal war of vice and virtue in our hearts before we can ever hope to achieve world peace. We cannot give what we first do not possess. Otherwise, it's the orphan, the widow, and the alien we will oppress, and war will continue until Jesus decides to come back or we blow ourselves up completely. Peace will only be attained when our hearts are converted more to the gospel. And the heart of the message of the gospel can be summed up in this way. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself.